It's not until you lose everything that you can truly appreciate everything. A quote by Disney Princess Belle in the movie Beauty and the Beast. Hey y'all, welcome back. I'm excited to be back with you guys. Happy 4th of July. We are recording on 4th of July. I know you had a good weekend. How was your weekend, Barb?
Yes, happy 4th, everybody. My weekend was really good. Got to hang out with some friends and pop a lot of fireworks. Went on jet skis, went on a boat, rode a tube in the lake. So yeah, definitely good. I'm happy to be back though because my skin is on fire. I am
burnt.
I know. How are you?
I'm doing good. I basically try to spend most of my time at home this weekend because I was gone for 4 days. So I was trying to just relax my body before I went back to work, get some rest. I took a nap every day since I've been home. And we went to go have a date, like a date morning. Usually we usually do like date nights, but we wanted to do it in the morning. We went to go watch Black Phone, which that is a good freaking movie. It was really, have you seen it yet or no?
No, I haven't even heard of it.
Girl, you need to watch it. It's like it's about a kid who gets kidnapped by a serial kidnapper. You need to watch it. It's really freaking good. We did the morning because it's cheaper.
Right.
And then we walked around the mall for a little bit and yeah, we had salada for lunch. It was pretty good. We had a good weekend. But just before we start, I do want to say that people are popping fireworks. So if you hear loud noise in the back, just try to ignore it. There's not much we can do about that. But yeah, it feels like it's been a long time since I covered an episode for you guys, because since we've gone to the one a week. I'm excited for today and covering everything that we're covering today, because it's a really interesting one. And I don't know if you've heard about this one before, but we'll talk about it at the end. Life has been so busy. I feel like I haven't seen Barb in forever, and it's crazy. It's just crazy right now. But I just want to say thank you to everyone who has been patient with Barb and I as we transition to the one episode a week. Also, for who has been patient with our merch situation. We're both new at this and trying to make sure that we find a better way for you all to access our merch and have an easier way to purchase it instead of going through us. We promise we will have some coming out soon. We're going to be working on that maybe hopefully this weekend. We'll see. But that's all of the business for this episode. Let's get into today's case. We're going to be taking it out of Texas and heading all the way to Celebration, Florida. Today's episode does involve the killing of children and an animal. So if you have triggers with this, please feel free to skip over those parts. I will do my best at letting you guys know ahead of time, so that way you have some time to skip. I got information from rollingstone.com, from wikipedia.org, and wesh.com. They were all pretty good articles, all basically cover the same things. But today I will be diving into the case that I think I've actually heard of somewhere, but I cannot for the life of me remember. It's probably from a podcast, if we're being honest. But once I get into the details, I'm sure a lot of you would have heard this case. It was a huge case. Everybody heard about it because it's so close to Disney World and all of this stuff. But this actually happened recently as well. I'm going to be telling you about a family who was murdered mercilessly by someone that was supposed to love them and protect them from any harm. The person responsible for this was Mr. Anthony Todd. This man killed his wife, children, and his dog as well. So this is going to be a rough one, guys, but try to stick with me. So let's start with everything, like when everything started coming together. So the only way that their family was found on this day was because they were actually coming to serve a warrant for Anthony. I'm sure it's for something that was happening in his past, which we'll talk about later, but I'm not really sure like if it was exactly for that purpose. It didn't say. But they were coming to serve the warrant, when he walked out of his home shaking strangely, like something was wrong with him, almost like he was kind of out of it. But this actually wasn't the first time the police were at his house. The police actually did a welfare check, but they didn't find anything out of the ordinary. The county deputies and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office of Inspector General, that's a long name. Imagine having to tell people that's your title.
That is, like, they had to have, like, some kind of short acronym for that, because, whew, that's a mouthful.
Oh, I'm sure they do, but if I would have said the acronym, I would have had to say what the name was. But either way, they came out to do an inspection of the home on January 13th, 2020. After family members, they came out because family members started getting really weird and strange text messages from Anthony. So they went to the house and found that there was an eviction notice on the door. The mail, like the family mail, had not been taken inside for what looked like weeks. This is when Anthony started wandering out all shaky. So we're kind of back at the beginning when he came out. They were actually coming to serve a warrant, but also do like a check-in because of all the text messages. So it was all just kind of adding up, and it was super weird. So when he came out, I guess, I don't know the situation. It's hard to kind of like piece it together from all the different articles, but I'm assuming that they got there, they couldn't get in, they had to unlock the door. So they had the landlord come out, unlock the door, and when they did this, I guess Anthony walked out, and that's whenever they saw that he was all shaky and acting weird and just like being odd. But either way, they made it into the home, and the smell would hit them as soon as they opened the door. Most police officers know that what that smell is, and I'm sure just from all the stories we hear, because it's so potent, that we can probably tell what it is. But it was a smell of decomposing bodies from weeks of just sitting there. Not only was the smell of decomposition that would like tell the police officers exactly what happened, but it was also the disarray of the house was in. Like, it was, they said it was like nobody had been there, and things were just piling up, and nothing was being taken care of. So this man was literally in this house, sitting there with decomposing bodies for weeks, and then his house was just a mess. So I don't know, when I start telling you kind of like what happened in his life later on, I think you'll kind of see that he was starting to have like a mental break almost, but we'll talk about that later. I'm going to say trigger warning now. This is when I'm going to start talking about what happened and all of that. You might have to skip like a minute or so, but yeah, just trigger warning. I will be talking about how each family member died. The police would walk through the entire house and find the bodies of 42-year-old Megan Tott, which was Anthony's wife, and their three children, Alex, which was Alexander, who was age 13, Tyler, who was age 11, and Zoe, who was age 4, along with their dog Breezy, who was found dead on the floor. The body of Zoe was so badly decomposed that the police actually didn't find her until they examined her mother Megan's corpse, and would find her body was underneath Megan, and they could not find her. Like, they just like, we don't understand, like, where's the third child? And they, isn't that crazy? Like, she was just covered by her mother's body, and they couldn't see her. That's how bad she was decomposed.
That is so sad.
Yeah, and honestly, it just breaks my heart.
Yeah, I have never heard of that before, but I could imagine why it would decompose a lot faster than the others, being only surrounded by the floor, and then, like, if your mom's body is on top of you. And I would not have wanted to have been on that scene as a police officer. Ooh, mm-mm.
No, and apparently, in one of the articles that I read, it said that after he killed all of them, which I'll tell you how, like, what he told them, what happened. Apparently, after that, he took all of their bodies and put them all in the master bedroom. So I don't really know, but it breaks my heart that all of his family went through this, and their last moments that they watched was their father or their husband murder them, each of them slowly. And when I say slowly, I'm about to tell you, but it was like he was so angry at them or something happened. It's just bad. With that being said, I want to tell you about the night that this all happened. After being arrested, Anthony would tell the police that it was between December 14th, 2019 and Christmas of 2019. Like, he couldn't even remember the day that he murdered his family. He's like, it was between December 14th and Christmas. I'm not really sure. Like, what kind of messed up-ish is that? That doesn't make any sense.
I don't even know. I don't even know what to say about that. I mean, maybe it's, like, he didn't want to remember the date, so he didn't bother to look and see. Because, honestly, I'm the type that if I don't physically check the calendar or, like, look at the date on my phone, I don't know what date it is.
Yeah, that's true. But it's just, like, something this big, you'd think that, okay, this is, like, this is when it happened. Or so I don't know how to explain it. But also, it could have been a part of he was maybe having that mental break. But also, apparently, he had tried to, like, drug himself with Benadryl. And so maybe he was drugged then when it happened. I don't know. Either way, he could not remember what the exact date was. At the time of the murders, he weighed about 250 pounds. This matters because he would actually walk into Zoe's room, who was the four-year-old, lay on top of her, and then just lay there. And just basically waited for her to take her last breath. And he just, like, suffocated her by just laying on her. Didn't strangle her with his hands, didn't do anything, just laid on her.
Oh my gosh. What kind of crap is that? Like, I don't even know what to say. I have never heard of somebody murdering somebody that way.
I haven't either, and that's when I was like, oh my god, like, that is terrible. Yeah, I told you guys this one was a rough one, but after he would kill Zoe, he then proceeded to get up and go into Alexander's room, and he would not only stab him, but he also suffocated him as well. After he confirmed that his 13-year-old son was dead, he then walked downstairs where his 11-year-old son, Tyler, was sleeping on the sofa bed. He proceeded to take the same knife that he had stabbed his other son with and also stab Tyler as well and suffocate him. He then would find the dog and suffocate the little puppers. Ugh, this whole case just, like, was giving me chills the whole time I was reading it. After all of his children and his dog was murdered, he went back up to his room where he would then stab Megan, which is his wife, and kill her. This was everything that he told the police. Now, it's hard to know if this is exactly, like, what happened and the order and all that, but this is what he stated to the police and told them at first.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, that's kind of scary because as a mother, not to have heard anything happening. I mean, if she was the last person to be murdered, you could assume that if somebody's being stabbed repeatedly, like, they're going to be screaming. So it's like, how could you have not have heard that? That is terrifying because as a mother myself, that could happen in my house. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I do want to I'm about to tell you kind of what happened. What I believe what he did was I think he gave the children, like, a crap ton of Benadryl. And basically, like, drugged them to where they were so, like, knocked out by this Benadryl that I don't think they may have reacted. Because they're so little, and if you give them a certain amount of Benadryl, it can cause you to sleep for a really long time. But I think that's what happened. I'm not really sure. But either way, this is what he told the police at first. Because after telling the police the events, he would then try to come back and tell the police that, actually, I didn't do any of this. This wasn't me. It was, in fact, Megan who killed the entire family. So here's another man trying to blame the wife for something that he did. Because I have no doubt in my mind that he did this. None. So he said that she would feed them, quote, Benadryl pudding pie, end quote. And that's where I kind of think that he actually did that, not her. But And then after they were all asleep, she would then kill all of the children and then stab herself over and over again. And that he actually tried to do CPR and didn't actually try to suffocate her. He was trying to do CPR. Because I think in one of the articles it said that, oh, she stabbed herself, so I had to suffocate her to end her life so she wasn't suffering. But instead they try to say, no, it was CPR. He was doing CPR on his wife. Like, okay. He really thought that this would work.
Like, okay. Even if Megan was trying to kill herself, I've never heard somebody, like, why would you, stab yourself repeatedly? Like, why not just do a drug overdose like you've been drugging your own kids, supposedly? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
It is so stupid. And then the fact that, okay, say she did. You sat in that house, and this supposedly happened between December 14th and Christmas, and they weren't found until, what, January, I think I said 19th? Or January 13th. How long were you sitting in that house with dead bodies in there? Like, you didn't even think about, like, oh, let me call 911. My wife just killed all of my kids and our dog.
No.
Exactly. Like, you really tried. You really thought. But he thought this would work because Megan supposedly, and I say this, I'll tell you in a second, but supposedly had severe depression. According to Anthony, in 2017, Megan had contracted Lyme disease after getting bitten by a bug while at Disney World. She would have then had, like, different depressive episodes and would isolate herself from friends and family because of this. Now, I'm unsure of how true this is or if he's just saying this to kind of make his story more believable, because, you know, you can't really trust anything that's coming out of his mouth. But I don't know if there's actual medical facts that say that she did have Lyme disease and she was having these problems. Because to me, when I tell you about what happened, like what he was going through at this time, I'm wondering if he was isolating her and causing her to be depressive and not actually Lyme disease. Like, he was kind of starting to control her and stuff. I'm not sure. Like I said, there was no medical records that she had Lyme disease or any proof that she was having depressive episodes. None of that. But I say this because of some of the background information. So the family actually lived in Connecticut for a few years. The two met in college and would then get married shortly after. They actually ran a business together. One of them was a physical therapist, which I believe was Anthony, and the other was the yoga instructor, which I believe was Megan. Megan would become pregnant and then would actually, like, move on to be a stay-at-home mom. She would stop working at the clinic. They were all a very outgoing family. They were very loved, much involved with the community in their children's lives and making sure they're in sports, making sure they're doing arts, making sure, you know, just like the normal, like, family that you see out there, right? And Anthony was running the business and making sure that he was involved with community as well. He would actually volunteer to be a coach at the youth center for soccer, I believe, and work with disabled children as well. So it seems like everything on the outside was going well. There's no telling if there was something happening in behind closed doors like we see a lot. But apparently when Megan was diagnosed with Lyme disease, according to Anthony, that's when things started to change. The family was living in Florida at this time, but they still had the clinic in Connecticut. So he started flying to Connecticut, running the clinic, but also living in Florida. He started gaining a lot of weight, and he was then diagnosed with diabetes. After he was diagnosed, he started getting more stressed out and started doing things that were kind of out of his norm. It's almost like he was slowly going into this, like, mental breakdown after the diabetes. I believe in April of 2019, it wasn't specifically said, but from putting it together, I think it was April 2019, it was discovered that Anthony was charging patients for things that they never were serviced on. After an investigation was started for the clinic, it was found that Anthony was stealing money from the clinic and was using it for things like the family's new home in Florida, trips to Disney World, and other things like that. His checks started bouncing, and he was over $100,000 in debt. He was also being sued by different companies in New York that had loaned him money that he never paid back. Police think that Megan and the children had no idea what was happening, and they think that he was keeping all of this fraud and everything hidden from the family by having them in the, like, another state. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, but that seems like something that happens more often than you would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like, but there's different ways of handling it, and I think the way that he handled it, I feel like all of this piling up on him is what caused him. I mean, to me, it seems like a motive. It seems like he was getting things thrown at him left and right, and he reacted and kind of had like a mental breakdown from all the stress and all of the problems and everything. But then again, the fact that he killed his family slowly and so personally, that something deeper in the family was happening. Like, I feel like, yeah, he was stressed. He had all those things happening. But usually when we see cases like this, they're either shot or they're just, like, stabbed and done. But he laid on his 4-year-old's body and waited for her to die. And, like, basically, I don't know. I feel like it was too personal to be just stress outside of the home. But then again, maybe he blamed his family for all of the problems he was having. You know, she was depressed, so he had to work on his own, and he's starting to blame her and all the kids and all that. But I don't know. I feel like there's so many possibilities, but he never gave a reason why. He just did it. But what do you think, Barb?
I don't know. Like, I have the question as to, could he have murdered his family if they had life insurance policies? Because if he was $100,000 in debt, that could have been a huge motive to murder all of his family if he had taken a life insurance policy out on them.
Yeah, but I feel like if he had the life insurance policy, he would have tried to get away with it. You know what I mean? Like, he would have tried to hide their bodies and tried to run out of the house and try to get away and be in Connecticut and, like, doing all this extra stuff. But it seemed like he just, like, once it happened,
and maybe he just sat there. Maybe that could have been his plan, and then whenever he actually completed it, like, actually went through with it, is when he had the mental breakdown and was like, oh my God, what did I just do type moment. I mean, I don't know. You don't really know unless you're Anthony or if you know more about this case and you have more information. But there's so many different possibilities that could have happened, such as, like, him trying to go through with it and then he does it. And that could be why he doesn't move the bodies anywhere. He's just like, I can't believe I just did this. Like, I'm not going to remove them. Like, this is their home. Like, I don't know. I just think about all these different things about what could have really happened. Or what was really going through his mind.
Yeah, honestly, I don't even want to know what's going through his mind. He just needs to rot where he's at and just leave me alone.
Oh, see, I agree, but I'm so, you know me, I'm like fascinated by what drives or like what makes a killer a killer, you know?
Yeah.
Because to me, it's like once we can know the main triggering things, then we can try and fix it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to like fix things, or how can we make something better in the state? How can we improve laws? How can we, I don't know. I just am super curious about stuff like that, and I am glad that he's in jail, if he hasn't passed already.
No, he hasn't. So even with Anthony trying to change the story, it didn't help his case any. The jury didn't believe Megan did it, and all signs pointed to him as the murderer. This year, which is 2022, just for reference for future when we have these out, he was convicted of 4 counts of murder and 1 count of animal cruelty and was given life without possibility of parole. Circuit Judge Keith A. Karsten said, quote, a jury was unanimously determined after listening to the evidence that you, Anthony John Tott, a destroyer of worlds, end quote. Like, you know a judge hates you when he calls you a destroyer of worlds.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised that he didn't get, I don't know if Florida has it, but I'm surprised that he didn't get the death penalty.
Yeah, I don't know. Some states don't have it. I'm not sure if Florida has it as well. But yeah, I didn't even think about that. I'm just glad he didn't, though, because I want him to rot. And I want him to sit there and think about, like, what he did every single day of his life for the rest of his life. Like, I just want him to just suffer in there. I hope prisoners are taking very good care of him. But that covers all of today's episode. What did you think, Barb?
I enjoyed it. I actually haven't heard of this one, but it doesn't surprise me because we've been usually sticking to all about Texas. And so when we research, it's been all about Texas, but we're branching out and we are starting to cover cases in other states as well. So this was pretty new for me and I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Of course. Yeah. I think I may have like saw the articles or something because of the, it being in the celebration community, because that's supposed to be like the happy place of Disney World. Like, it's so close to Disney World. It's supposed to be this perfect little community. And then this like family murder happens. So I think I saw it on the news. I'm pretty sure news, or I heard it in a podcast, either one. But please feel free to reach out to Barb or myself at tcwtm2021@gmail.com. Message us on Instagram at Texas Chicks Who Talk Murder with no spaces, on Twitter at Texas Chicks Who with a number one, and on Facebook at Texas Chicks Who Talk Murder. We are also asking that you guys take a minute of your time to give us a review or rate us on whichever platform you're using. This will allow us to reach a larger audience and maybe help us get bigger things for you guys, better recording microphones and stuff like that. Also, please share these stories with your friends and family. Last but not least, stay out of dark places and watch your back, because you never know who's lurking, even if you are close to them. Bye.
Bye.